5, 6. There we go. Look at that. It works. I love the sound, man. If you're a preacher, is your most important important person in the room. So in this case, the ladies. So am I supposed to say something now?
Do you want to set up the videos and tell people what
set about? Them up. That means you've got them ready to roll, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
You don't have
okay.
to do that.
So
that. No, Tracy?
We're going to show one about there's two videos we're showing this morning,
yes.
And there are more that we're going to send you. Somebody actually did did a documentary on John and Suzanne Hunter's life and ministry this year for us. I haven't watched it yet, just the beginning. And they did a good job.
Yeah.
And so we have a church in a home church that we don't go to. Isn't that funny? Because they speak Afrikaans. That supports Community Hope School. It's called Agape Ministries. And they're wonderful. They have just stood behind us for years. And the guy that's the pastor there is Cass Becker. And he's on, I'm sure you've met Cass. And Cass is on our board of directors. And this year he ordered his video team to do a whole bunch of videos about us. And we're even talking about doing some pottery instructional videos with lions walking in back of me. Isn't that cool? I know. We can get people to watch them. And so funny. It's sort of, anyway. So they did this. And so one of them is our principal, Romy Bukas. And Romy has been serving with us for 15 years. She and her husband, Archie. Archie was the first principal, and then he was our first grade teacher. He was one of our first teacher, and so she mentions that. And Romy told us that God has called her to come alongside of us and serve us, which is pretty amazing. And so anyway, that's one. It's sort of her take on the school and some pictures. And then there's another. We're not showing Nobbit. We're just showing the archery team. Okay, so our archery team is like Mighty Ducks. We have this. No, it really is. So there's 20 schools in Namibia. There's 13,000 schools worldwide that compete in this program called NASP, which is National Archery in Schools Program. And in fact, the headquarters of the people that make the bows are here in Wisconsin. It's called Genesis Bows, and we are their featured team. Go figure, out of 13,000 schools. I think they forgot to take us down off the website, but we're still there. And so this year, we had a big change in our coaching staff, and one of our coaches left, and the two guys at our school who were assistants took over. And one of them, his name is Gregory, and he's gone now. He left for a better job that he ended up not getting. But anyway, he's great, and he's in the national choir, which is why he's got such a great voice. And so Gregory's talking about the archery team. And this year we had I think it was about 3 weeks ago, maybe, not even that. But we've been in the paper 3 or 4 times because we won the national championships this year. We annihilated the other teams. It was, the other teams, the coaches come to us and they say, so you guys like don't do academics, you just do archery at your school. They actually say that because how could these little black kids who are poor and don't have anything be beating these entitled rich kids that are doing so, you know, and we just took over the archery program entirely. And one meet, they weren't going to go because they didn't have money. So I called a couple people and I got money for the team to go. And they won 24 out of 36 medals. Yes. I feel bad for the other kids because we showed up. And so it's just great. It's just been a real testimony of God's blessing and anointing on the school. And I haven't figured out why we're winning. Because we've got 21 kids on the team. We have two archers, Delron and Denzel, and they're number 1 and 2 in the country. And one of our girls, her name is Innocent. So I was on Good Morning Namibia 2 weeks ago on a Monday before, just before we left, like a week and a half ago. Tomorrow will be 2 weeks. And I took her with me, and she was great. And she, we don't have that video this morning, but she talked about the Astros. So what has archery done for you? Why do you like archery? She said, well, and I think the coaches have them memorized this because they all say the same thing. She said, it helps me to focus, so I do better in my schoolwork, and it's taught me discipline and how to aim at a target and have better goals. I just thought, I was really impressed. So, and we won this really fancy bow, so she brought it with her. Even though she didn't win it, Delron won it. Right. I had to bring it. Anyway, that's enough. I could go on for a long time about the archery program.
I'm Gregory. I'm the coach. I got my bay training about 3 years ago. Got it from Quinton Kruger, who started archery at community home school. And yeah, I do it because I enjoy it. We have about 20 students from community home school in the archery program. And in May this year, 2019, we went to South Africa for the African All-Stars. We had three boys in the national team, that is the top 16, and then in the top 32, from 17 to 32, we had another three. So in total, we had six boys that went to South Africa with us, yeah. Well, this was basically my first job, and I did my studies while I was here, and I think working with John is just, he's a helpful boss, should I say.
For me, it was like I saw my friend Gabriel doing the sport, and I asked him, does it help for the school? Then he said yes a lot. Then I started joining it for the school work, yeah. No one told us to do archery. It was just...
My name is Denzel. My surname is Nanook. I'm practicing at Community Hope. I'm in the national team.
My name is Pasiola. I like archery because it gives me more concentration on my schoolwork.
John Suzanne approached us to pray about starting a Christian school in Katatura. Archie was a teacher at Highlands Christian School, which brings me to the point where I, as a wife, had to make a decision that am I going to join in this venture, because it's kind of crazy. I had to go back to God and talk to him about this. So the one thing I realized is that right now we're working at a school where the parents can really afford to take care of these children. They can pay for their education and they can grow. But there are children that doesn't have that privilege. And they need teachers. So for us, it was a sacrifice that we needed to make in order to become the teachers for these children that doesn't have these privileges. And we said yes. So we started the school in 2005. Archie and Suzanne, they were the main educators at the school. They had one class assistant. Archie became the administrator. He became the principal. He was the cook. He was the teacher. They had to do all these things by themselves. It's just one class of 10 students. And so they were at the current facility where Beautiful Kids is. That's where they started. So the year after that, we trusted God for another building, and we started to have our first class at the church close by, which was the Assemblies of God Pentecostal Church. So that's where we started with Community Hope School. Our children mainly come from vulnerable situations. So they become vulnerable if the mother passed away, or they just live with the grandmother, or both parents are maybe alcoholics. So one of the reasons why I'm at Community Hope School, these children, they are weak links in society because of the parents' role that is not there. And we had the responsibility, or we had the opportunity, to strengthen these links through education, by adding value, by restoring dignity about who God is and how God wants to see them in the future. and so that they can also realize they have a purpose and a role. They're not just existing. They have a role, and God has a plan for their lives.
Sent me that are funny. But you got the idea.
You got to meet Romy. Actually, I can't believe it was 6 years ago that eight of us actually went to Namibia, to the school. And it doesn't it bring back memories, those of us who went looking at the videos? So come on up, because I want to pray for you.
Sure.
So the reality is actually John and Suzanne and Community Hope School are facing a pretty significant challenge. A couple years ago, they lost government funding. And so they've now kind of dried up their savings. So they're a pretty critical point financially. And so, here's the thing, John. There might be some people here who might want to sponsor a kid or sponsor an archer or something like that, and that'd be awesome. There might be someone here who could underwrite your finances. I don't know. I think it's unlikely, but I don't know.
You never know.
When I go
they
to
could
God,
sell a couple of their kids.
Yeah, that would be so consistent with what you're
doing. I know. Well, you know.
Right. So I know that when I go to God with my various needs, be they financial or something else, I've usually got a great list for him of how he could meet my needs. And, you know, I haven't quite gone as far as to type up an agenda, but it's usually right there in my mind. And usually he does something completely different. So I don't know how God's going to meet your financial need, but I believe that he will. And so what I'd actually like us to do is pray for Community Hope School and John and Suzanne. And would you all just stand in agreement with me as I pray? God, we do pray for Community Hope School. God, we want to thank you for every kid who has been through that school, every kid who is there now, and every kid who will be there in the future.
Thank you.
There is beautiful pottery in the back. John is also a master potter. So one of the ways that he and Suzanne support themselves is by selling the pottery. So if you would like to do some Christmas shopping or just beautify your home, you can go ahead and do that. And then I'm going to let you preach.
Okay.
So Lord, give us ease to hear what John has to say.
Well, God has been encouraging us, I mean, almost daily. Oh, okay, good. Thank you. Well, this is nice. Did Craig make it?
We had it made, yeah.
It's nice. We don't see cherry in Namibia. And one of the big needs, and sort of a funny thing when we travel like this, is rental cars. Because they just kill us financially. And so we rolled into Boston and to New York. We flew in. We left on the 1st of October. And I rented a van because I've got all these boxes of pottery because we travel so light. And we don't bring any luggage. So if you really want to feel sorry for Suzanne, you can, because she gets a carry-on to live out of for 2 months. All you ladies probably can appreciate how the sacrifice she makes. So, and we rented a car, drove to Boston, and then I got my medical stuff done. And so those of you that know, I've got some kind of weird lymphoma that they are watching and not treating right now, so which is good. And then we flew to Rochester, New York, and that was good because we didn't have to rent a car there. It's where Suzanne's from. But when we got here, I asked Jill if anybody had a car, and somebody does. And we're using, raise your hands, thank you for the guy with the big beard. What's your name? Yeah, I don't even know. So people give us stuff, and it's amazing. And then this morning, somebody in L.A., where we're going to be for 3 weeks, sent me a text, said, by the way, I have a car you can use. And then there was another, oh, and somebody else called me yesterday in Texas, said, by the way, you can use our car. I've got two cars. Just don't wreck my truck. And so it was just really great, because that's one of the big needs that we have when we roll in. Otherwise, because Suzanne and I we're not letting the school pay for anything right now. We're paying for everything ourselves. So it just really helps. And so for those of you that knew about the need and responded, thank you. And or even just prayed, God's pretty much met all of our needs for that. I'm just amazed at who God is and his love for the kids. Next year, our theme is going to be, and I forget the scripture verse, but it's going to be faith working through love. I think it's Ephesians 4:6 or 6:4 or Philippians. It's one of those. It was part of a daily scripture verse that I get. And I just thought, that's exactly where I'm at, is that faith, but working through love. And that's where we want to go with the school next year, is that we want to help the kids really experience God's love and grace in what they're doing. And we've seen it. It's just so cool. Some guy showed up, called me, an ex-YWAMer called me and said, hey, I've got 200 pounds of Rice Krispies. Do you need them? I go, yeah. He's like, we got a picture. I don't know if anybody follow us on Facebook. Did you see the picture of the kids with the bags? So we shared them. We gave them to some other schools in the area too. Because what do you do? I mean, you know what? We were going to make those Rice Krispie treats, right? I mean, we could sell them. The kids could. We could even sell them to the kids and stuff because they buy little treats. Marshmallows cost $5 a bag in Namibia. Go figure. So we're not going to do that. So, but it was a good idea. Suzanne made some. They were really good. If you look at, you saw the overview. That was one thing that really impressed me about the guys. They actually have a drone, and they put it up over the school. It makes it look like you rented a helicopter and took pictures of your school and stuff. So I don't know if you could see it because they didn't hold it for very long, but it's such a poor area. And we're in the nice part of Katatura. And Katatura, if you look at the city of Windhoek, it's sort of like this. And the white people live here. The colored people live. Yeah, white people live here. Colored people live here on this side. There's a highway that goes right through it called the B1. And so the designers of apartheid sort of decided, let's keep everybody separate. That's what apartheid means. And so in 1959, they bulldozed all the homes down of the black people that lived in the white areas and forcibly removed them to Katatura. So if you look at it, there's like 25,000 white people, 25,000 coloreds, which it's not what we think of the word here. It's a racial group. And then there are 250,000 black people that live on the other side of the B1 over that way. And so I call it the apartheid highway. And since apartheid has ended in Namibia in 1990, there has been no white people that have moved over to Katatura, none of the rich people. So the divide today, but a lot of the richer people, black people, have moved into the nicer areas. So the divide anymore really isn't black and white. It's rich and poor. And one of the schools in Katatura and in Namibia, in Windhoek, is called Windhoek Gymnasium. And it's this, which is a German kind of European thing to call a school. And gymnasium, my grandchildren that used to go to Community Hope, now that Christian and his wife moved over to the other side of town, and so their kids are at Parkies or something, I forget. It's a public school. And they had a big field hockey competition, so I went up. I'd never been up to gymnasium school. And it's huge. It's like the University of Wisconsin. You know, it's like this huge buildings, and everybody's talking about the economic downturn, and they're building new buildings. And it's just, there's all these really nice, rich kids and playing hockey, and everybody's there, and their parents, and they're selling everything. And I just thought, and I look at my school and the needs we have in that side of town, and I just thought, you know, this is really injustice. It's really wrong. And I don't know how to fix it. Just like this this girl, Greta Thunberg. How many of you heard her speak at the UN? Anybody, you know, listen to the things? Of course you did, because you're a child. All of us adults apparently aren't concerned about this thing. But she, in spite of what she said, and everybody has a different opinion about this 16-year-old being invited to speak at the UN on climate change, she said this, and she called it climate justice. And I thought, it's very interesting. But she said this, imagine what we could all do together if we really wanted to. So part of it is, do we really want to bring about justice? Not whether it's the climate change and all that, but just justice. Justice is a big issue with God. And as I've brought this message before, I usually use my potter's wheel, and I talk about God being a father, because in Isaiah 64, verse 8, it says, "But now, O Lord, you are our father, we are the clay, and you are the potter, and each of us is the work of your hand." But it starts out with his name, which is translated to Lord. And then, "But now Jehovah," or "now Yahweh, you are our father." It starts with that idea. So I think about fathers. And in Youth of the Mission, we have a lot of teaching about father, the father heart of God. And it's about how much God loves you and all this nice stuff. And I'd rather think I might call it the mother heart of God, because that's what it sounds like to me when you look at God from that perspective. But the father heart of God in regards to justice, apparently there's, Suzanne was telling me on the drive over, there's more. If you really want to get to know God, you should study his justice. So the word justice, justice in French, is the same word, is the word that's, it's how they translate the word righteousness into French. Anybody speak French? That's what I was told. And Greta Thunberg said, "I have learned that you are never too small to make a difference." I like that. So I think that we, when we started the school, we started with 10 kids. And, you know, what's that? What are we doing? And now we have 107. We could have up to, I think, 140 we'd max out, because we don't have room for more than 20 kids in a classroom. And we would love to get a new facility, but apparently there was a ban on building new schools, private schools, selling land to private schools and churches in Namibia that we just found out about. That's why we had so much grief trying when we had money to buy land and to get it. So how many of you know who Gary Haugen is? He started a ministry called the International Justice Ministry. Did you guys print that thing I sent you?
Yep.
Can I have one? I left my notes at home. Well, Gary Haugen, you guys need to look him up on the internet. He spoke at, first time I heard him speak was, I heard a speech that he gave at Redeemer Prez, where Timothy Keller, how many of you know who Timothy Keller is? Yay, some hands. So I like Timothy Keller. He's got a lot of good things to say, and he's really engaging people right in Manhattan. He had Gary Haugen come in and speak. And Gary Haugen, if I was 20 or 30 and wasn't already, you know, involved super, and I had the choice, I would go clean toilets at Gary Haugen's office. Gary Haugen was the chief prosecutor for the UN during the concerning the Rwanda genocide. And he's a guy from California. He's got a flat top, and he looks like Mr. America. And he's just He's a lawyer, and he is started this ministry called International Justice Mission, IJM. And they are freeing kids from sex slavery and from all sorts of horrors, you know, abuse and so on and so forth. And so I think, I don't know if I forwarded the, I get a newsletter every week from them. And they've got great funding, and they're doing great things, and they're risking, these, some of these lawyers are risking their lives defending people in countries where it is unpopular to defend the orphan and protect the widow, as it says in Isaiah 1:17. And they're changing. It's like the one thing. So here's the scenario. You know, you can build churches in other countries, and that's great. And you can dig wells and get clean water in places where they don't have it. And you can start schools in other countries where there's a lack of education. And you can build hospitals. You know, all these things that missionaries have been doing for decades, if not longer. But if people can't, if it's not safe for girls to go get to the clean water, if it's not safe. I've had kids robbed on the way to school. People beat them up and take their shoes. See, if it's not safe to get to school or to go to the hospital or to, you know, and so, you know, go to the water well that this benevolent group of Christians dug for you, it doesn't help. So this whole idea of justice is a big deal. It's a big deal, and it's one of the biggest problems that we have. So I had a, in my archery team last year, we had, as Gregory said, we had six kids on basically the national team, three on the upper team and then three on the lower, and we did again this year. We went to Cape Town. And Namibia came in second in the four nations of Southern Africa because of our team, because they shot so well. Everybody stopped, apparently, at one point. I didn't go to watch Delron shoot 50s. He shot one, and he shot another set of 50s. Everybody stopped to see if he was going to shoot a perfect score. Apparently, it had never been done. And but the kids, there was an international competition last year and in Canada. And our three boys were invited. Well, they couldn't go because it was 10 grand to send them. But all the other kids went from all the other rich schools that are involved because their parents paid for it and so on and so forth. So it's this injustice that's happening that is God is unhappy with. And so when we, I struggle with it on that side. I have a lot of people there that all pray for us, and they buy my pottery. And like I did a big pottery thing at the beginning of the year where I made 500 ice cream cups for this church. And they buy like 400, 500 cups, bowls, and things a year to help support the school. But they won't come and volunteer and help at the school, maybe once or twice, because it's not safe in Katatura, where we work. That's why they won't come. We go every day. I don't know, you know, and we've had people try to hijack our car a couple of times and issues, but and my son, Christian, who's a doctor there, was attacked once in his car. So I understand why they don't want to come. But we need help. I don't have any other missionaries serving with us now. It's just Suzanne and I. Romi's a missionary, but everybody else is local Namibian, and they all get paid. And so it's this issue that's been sort of building up in me. How can we make a difference? How can we reach this? How can we break down this wall? We were praying about the school, and I think it was Suzanne. Romy had a picture of an icebreaker stuck in the ice slowly breaking through the ice, trying to make a turn. And Suzanne had a picture of a wall, right? What was the wall? Just a big wall. Big dirt wall. And so we need to figure out a way. It's like in this B1 highway that goes through, that's the divide between the rich people and the poor people. Made me realize that we've got to break this wall. It's a metal wall. It's a financial wall. Everybody in Namibia, we've had a problem financially in the country, and there's been a lot of people. Giving is down at the churches. That's how I know it's really a real problem, and people aren't just talking about it in the newspaper, because it's affecting giving at the churches. And so you look at these things, and it was because of corruption that we've had a downturn. You know, eventually it catches up with you if you steal money from the government. Or the government stealing money from taxes and stuff. And you have it. And we have less of a problem in Namibia than we do other places. But that's injustice. In fact, a couple of years ago, the Anti-Corruption Committee in Namibia said that they're going to return all the money that they stole, but without interest. It was in the newspaper. They were real proud of this, that they were going to return the money. So, funny. So anyway, I have this little teaching I do that you guys have notes on today. When I often go to schools, can I put it here?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right. It's called The Father Heart of God in Arithmetic. And so as I've prayed about teaching every now and then, I have a friend that wrote an article about how to teach arithmetic, an American Christian philosophy of arithmetic, philosophy and methodology and curriculum. So an American Christian philosophy of arithmetic, philosophy, methodology, and curriculum of arithmetic. So I've been doing this now for 30 years, so I actually sort of think I know what I'm talking about, but it took me a long time to really get my brain around this thing. What does that mean, an American Christian philosophy of arithmetic? Isn't math just math? Like, it's just numbers, right? And so as I read through his article, he has two things. He has one, he's got a biblical source and origin of math. In Namibia, they don't call arithmetic, so that's why the word maths is there in a plural. Did God create arithmetic? Now, here's a question for you. Did God created everything, right? You all nod. Okay. Well, did God create himself? He's part of everything, right? He's not part of everything? No, he is part of everything. Everything's pretty inclusive. But did God create himself? No, he didn't. Then that's something that we don't understand. But he didn't create himself. So is there anything that God, that there is happening, like going on, that God didn't create? Well, Jill says no. Well, in the Bible, in Proverbs, it says that wisdom was with God in the beginning. So did God create? Well, was there a time that God said, you know, I need more wisdom. I'm going to create wisdom, and then I'll be wise. No, God has always been wise. And was there a time, so a definition for arithmetic, the simplest definition I know is all arithmetic is counting, right? Counting forward on the number line is addition, counting backwards on the number line is subtraction. Counting forward in multiples of the same kind is, in groups of the same kind, is multiplication, and counting backwards on the number line in groups of the same kind is division. So those are basically the four operations of arithmetic. Was there ever a time that God couldn't count? Right? So I don't think so, because there's three of them. See? And so they could always go, hey, look at this. There's more than one of us. So they could always count. We know they could always count. This is sort of funny to put it like this. But, and God can, he could, you know, and he, before he even made anything, he could count his thoughts, which were infinite. And so I think God could count. So I don't think God created arithmetic. I think it's a part of his nature. What do I have written down here? It's his Trinity, his eternal existence. I think God has always been able. I think arithmetic is uncreated. I think it's really sort of funny. We sort of figure out different parts of it, like algebra and different things, and now you've got weird quantum mechanics and all of that. But I don't think there's ever been a time when God hasn't known about that. So we discover things, and so I think arithmetic is, as we study it, as we study the things that God has made and who he is, I think we get a better insight into who God is. And as we meditate on that, and as we think about it, it opens up these doors. Now I'm going to get to the point. And the second is the biblical end and purpose. So every subject that you study, if you're going to teach it, I do this really funny thing. I take and say, well, what subjects are Christian in a curriculum? If we have a Christian school, we want to teach Christian subjects in our school. So we don't want to teach anything that isn't Christian at our school. So I do a T-chart, and I get all these teachers. I do things, seminars for people like you guys that say you wanted to start a Christian school here at this, you know, I'm like, I don't know. Say you did. Churches do that. They're insane, and so they start schools, which don't go away. But kids need, and they want to have a Christian school because of those godless public schools out there. See? I'm laughing because I remember doing this. See? And so, and they're not, the Christian schools in Namibia aren't quite as godless as the ones here in the sense that we can actually still teach the Bible as long as you teach the Quran and other things too. And so, so you do this. So, well, what subjects are Christian? Come on now, help me. What about typing? Are we going to teach typing in our Christian school? We could teach Bible. We know that. We put that on the Christian side, Christian, non-secular, see? So what about
The Bible's typed.
Huh?
The Bible's typed. Someone typed it.
Oh, okay. So, you know, very good. So we can put typing over on the Christian side. Typing by its essential nature is Christian. See? So you do this. Pretty much I can convince everybody that the only thing we can teach at a Christian school is the Bible. Because I make fun of them until they all agree that with me that all these other subjects, like, you know, and like geography and, you know, all this stuff. But it's true. All these subjects are either were created by God, like God created the earth, so we can study geology and geography, or they express the nature and character of God, like math. And so math or arithmetic is an example of, it's a way of understanding God's nature and character. So, the biblical end purpose of arithmetic is to know God and to make him known. That's the purpose of arithmetic. How many of you knew that when you went to school, and that's the first thing because, you know, your teacher in first grade said, now, we're going to study arithmetic because it's going to help us know God and make him known. How many of your math teachers told you that? I taught this, I know, right? You know, so I taught this, I do this lecture, and I get all sorts of funny reactions to it. I did it in Jamaica, and there was this visiting guy that was at our Christian school in Jamaica, and he was, I don't know, he was the acting principal or something. I did this little blurb about Father, Heart of God in arithmetic, and the next morning I'm up having my quiet time, and he comes up to have coffee with me. He says, you know, I've been studying arithmetic for, you know, I have my master's in whatever, arithmetic or maths or whatever. And he said, I realize I don't know the first thing about arithmetic. After your 15-minute lecture yesterday, I was up all night realizing I have built my entire career on a false foundation. What do you say to that? Well, maybe we could start over. And so Jim Kilkenny, who wrote the article that I got this from, says that in order to know God and to make him known, arithmetic helps us to establish justice. So Leviticus 19:35-36. You shall do no wrong in judgment in measures of length or weight or quantity. You shall have just balances, just weights, a just epheth, and a just hin. So weights and measures are a way that we can, that arithmetic helps us establish justice. So when you go to the grocery store and you weigh, you know, and they weigh your carrots or your potatoes, you actually, you know, you there on the scale, there's a little seal. State of Wisconsin, weights and measures, you've got a Department of Weights and Measures, and it's, you are trusting that they're accurate, right? And they're not cheating you. But you could have your own little scale, since you've probably got an iPhone, you probably put things on iPhones and it weighs it for you now. I don't know if that does that, but does everything else, you know, and you can probably figure out exactly how much it really weighs. You could find out if they're cheating you. See? Ha-ha. So to establish justice, arithmetic allows you to do to protect yourself from corruption. If you understand math, right? You can go in and you can figure out if somebody's selling you, shorting you on what you buy or what you purpose or so on and so forth. People do this all the time. People try to cheat people. And to make a little extra money. And it allows you to protect yourself. And if you protect yourself, you're safe. So I was in Pakistan. Where's Sam? Don't go there. He's going to be close. But we used to have to go over out. We lived in Afghanistan for 10 months when we first got saved. And Sam is on his way to Afghanistan next week. Okay, well, we're going to pray for you for sure. And we used to have to travel through the Khyber Gorge, which is exciting. It's the same road that Alexander the Great went on when he conquered India and down to Pakistan. In Peshawar, we stayed at this mission house called Number 1 Swati Gate. Some Assemblies of God missionaries called the Rollies were there, and we used to stay with them. And I'd go out with Ron to visit all these little home churches, and they'd have worship, which you would not believe was worship because it sounded like really crazy noise to me in their Pakistani music. And then we'd come home. And one morning, I'm standing there with Don, and this guy comes to the door. And I can't do the Pakistani accent, okay? I wish I could. I have a friend that can. He knocks on the door, and Don opens up the door, and here's this guy standing. He's got a 5-liter bottle of milk, buffalo milk, okay? It's about a gallon. He says, Mr. Rowley, I've got some buffalo milk for you today. And Don says, oh, good. Well, how much is it? He says, well, it's 100 rupees a liter. And I'm making this up, but, you know, he says, oh, okay, good. Well, come on in. And he comes in, and he says, just a minute, I'll be right back. I figure he's going to go get his wallet, right? And he's going to pay how much for 5 liters of milk at 100 rupees a liter? 500 rupees, right? 5 times 100. It's very easy. It's math, see? So Don comes back. And he's got this long case, which doesn't look like a wallet. He sets it on the table. He sets the milk on the table. It takes the top off the milk and he opens it up and he's got a hydrometer. He takes it out. Now, a hydrometer, for those of you that flunked chemistry, is like a thermometer, except it's got a weight at the end instead of something that measures temperature, and it's got little graduations on it, and zero in the middle is, if you put it in distilled water, is where it rests. And you can measure the specific gravity or the density of water. See, zero. So everything's measured against that. So he takes Ed and he drops it in the buffalo milk. I'm really interested at this point because I want to be able to buy milk in Pakistan too if I need to, and I didn't know you needed a hydrometer. I've got to order one on Amazon and have it delivered. And so, you know, I'm just going, whoa, what's he doing? He's not explaining everything. He's just, you know, and this guy's standing there looking at him going, oh, no. And he measures that, and he gets his, you know, he's got this. This is before everybody had computers on their phones, and he's just there, and he's doing this little figuring. He looks at the thing, puts his glass, reads the thermometer, writes it down, and then he does all this figuring. And then he goes, okay. And he takes his wallet out, right? And he pulls out some money, and he hands the guy 450 rupees. And he goes, oh, bumble amongst, fine, you know, $100 a liter. And Don says, yeah, it's great, but I don't pay for water. Now, the water in Pakistan, remember this, over there. Don't drink the water. I don't care how thirsty you are. Don't drink the water over there. I had amoebic dysentery for 3 months. I looked like the fasting Buddha. And because I drank a cup of water that somebody handed me on the street one day. Don't drink the water. And the water is not safe because there's all sorts of bugs in it. There's amoeba and all sorts of bacillary dysentery. You can die from drinking the water. So this guy had added water because his buffalo only gave 4.5 liters that morning. He thought, well, you know, he's got a 5-liter jug. He topped it up. It's going to kill Don's family now if they drink it. So they have to. He buys it, but now he's going to boil it for 20 minutes before he drinks it. You know, he's going to kill the bugs in it. So this is about being safe. So math, arithmetic, helps you stay safe. See, this is cool. Now, how many of you ever had it, and it also helped arithmetic, is the tool to take dominion. Now, the dominion covenant, the first one with Adam, is that God tells us to go and to take charge and to rule over everything on the earth. In Genesis 1:28, he says, and God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Look right there, first thing God tells people to do is multiply. Say math isn't in the Bible. Say, not even add, says multiply. And fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. The dominion covenant is we are commanded by God to take care of the earth. And this is why this girl Greta is so upset. She apparently thinks that we're not taking care of the earth right now. See? Well, maybe she's right. We're supposed to. Now, today, we not only have that covenant, we have the command of Christ to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. Well, when you guys came, was it 8 of you came? You had to raise money. You had to figure out, well, how much is it going to take? We got to drive to the airport, you know, it's going to cost so much money to get to the airport. Got to leave the car there or whatever and pay the, you know. You know, you got all this money stuff to get somewhere, and it costs $2,000 round trip to get there, and then you got to figure out if John's going to pick you up at the airport, you got to rent a taxi or all this stuff. You got to have enough money. You got to figure that out before you go, and it's a big part of taking the great commission, taking the gospel anywhere. We've got to figure out how much it's going to cost to do that. And that's part of taking dominion. It's part of obeying the Great Commission to do that. And so how many of you ever tried to do a job and you had the wrong tool? Tad, you ever had to do a job with the wrong tool? I once saw a Mad magazine with Alfred E. Newman, and they started with a screwdriver, and he made a knife out of it, and then needed to do something else. All these tools that he modified to use, but he didn't, because he didn't have the right tool. And I've had to do that. I end up doing that when I'm making pottery all the time. I go someplace and they have a potter's wheel, but they don't have the tools I need to really do it. So I can do that because I've been doing it forever, but I'm not happy. And my pottery is the way it is. Somebody said, you should do something different, John. I said, yeah, I've been doing it this way for 50 years. So I probably should do something different, but this is what I do. And if I do something different, I gotta change my tools before I go to make pottery. See what I mean? It's like starts way down below below the ground. If I'm going to change what I do and give a different look to it, I'm going to have to change everything about what I do. I got to think it through all the way from the beginning. And so your tools are important. And if you do a job and you do it well, you get this sense of approbation. There's a new word for you today. It means you feel good when you do something. Get a feeling, a sense of fulfillment. And it's just like a job well done. And you're happy. So, Father Heart of God in maths will help you to be safe. God has given us maths so that we can be safe and happy. And that's what fathers want for their children. Right? That's what mothers want for their children too. God wants us to be safe and happy. He's a good mom and dad. And this is like when I go and teach, so I don't know if this helps you a little bit, but when we talk about building a Christian school, I'm not teaching memory verses in my math class. I mean, that might be nice. But we do that in Bible class. But I'm teaching the things I'm teaching so the kids know how to think and reason correctly. In Isaiah, it says, though your sins be as scarlet, he says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And I don't know why my archery team is winning. I really don't. That's one of the funniest things. They're littler than all the other white kids, rich kids. They don't eat as much. They didn't eat as much when they were little. We feed them pretty good now, but they didn't when they were little. And so Delron's growing, but Denzel's still really short. So when he wins first, he stands up on the podium on the tall one. He's shorter than the other guys on the second and third. It's hilarious. I've got some pictures of these other kids looking at my kids like this. Why is that kid up there? And it's justice. I don't know why. I don't know if God's anointed my team to shoot better, or I don't think we practice more. We don't have any better equipment, and that's what I love about this program is everybody has to use exactly the same arrows and exactly the same bows, except I cheat. I bought 100 arrows the other day at, like, a lot of money, and then I had Delron, who's the best archer on the team, shoot all the arrows twice, and any flyers we pulled, and we took them out, threw them away. I don't think anybody else is doing this. I tell you, because arrows are arrows. They're just made out of stuff. And so, you know, some arrows, the guys that put the feathers, the fletching on just right, or they didn't. And so I have Delron shoot them all. And all the ones that go in the ten ring, we keep. Everything else, we don't. So I know my equipment good. But I don't think, I just started doing that before the national competition because I really wanted to win the nationals. And we had to buy new arrows anyway. I said, so let's, I told Fortune, who's my coach, I said, let's, I said, I figured out a way to cheat. And you know what? Delron bombed. My best archer shot, he came in fourth. And he always wins. He's won every competition this year in the Nationals. He just, it was windy. I don't know what it was. And we still won in spite of that. Our team is so strong. And it's just really amazing. And I'm so excited about what God is doing and bringing about justice for this little group of kids. So, dominion is the first command of God to man. Man is called to govern and care for the earth. This is our job and duty. Arithmetic is one of the tools God has given us that enable us to carry out this command successfully. Without it, we would be ill-equipped to fulfill God's command. A father always provides the right tools and equipment necessary to accomplish the task he gives his children to do. Math is an expression of God's Father's heart to us. Math is, I wrote that twice. We are designed to be happiest when we are in a state of obedience to Him. Through obedience, we are blessed. When I obey God and grow closer to Him, I learn wisdom as I see the positive results of the goodness and intelligence of His loving requirements and limits. I am happy when I obey God and do what He wants. Arithmetic helps me do that. Because it's hunting season, I tell you a story. The first time I took my oldest son deer hunting, and I wrote a story about this. I'm going to see if I can get it published. It's called First Deer. And we got up. We had practiced and shot and all the things that you do to get ready. And I taught Christian riflery since he was young. And bought him a rifle, taught him to shoot it, and we went out early and set up deer stands, found a place where there were rubs and scrapes, and put him right on a line where I knew there was going to be a buck coming by. And this is before they had cameras where you knew what it would look like before you shot it. And got up at 3 in the morning that morning and had breakfast and then went out there in the dark and climbed up in the tree, put him up there, made him put the seatbelt on so he didn't fall out. And I went about 150 yards away so he didn't shoot me and got up in my tree. And I got up and I'm sitting in that tree in the morning. And I'm sort of dozing, trying not to fall asleep before light. And God spoke to me. And this is really weird thing he said to me because it just sort of shook me awake. He said, John, he said, I'm just like you. And I thought, that's weird. What's that mean? He says these weird things to me. And I realized that I had equipped my son. I'd given him the tools that he needed. And the training to be successful. And that's what God wants for us. And I think as we take the time to seek Him, and I believe that education is designed so that every subject of the curriculum actually is designed by God to do that for us. So when I talk about a Christian school, I'm not talking about what a lot of people think they're talking about. I'm talking about really making a difference in the way kids think. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's why the kids are winning. I really don't know why they win. It's just that when they show up at practice and they get blessed, and so do we. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this home church that we have here in Wisconsin. I'm just so grateful for the sense of family. And Lord, you've called us to win the world to Christ, to show people who you are by the not just by the things we say, but by how we live. And so enable us to do that, Lord. Empower us to be witnesses for your glory in every sphere that we live in. In your name, amen.